Hi, everybody. Welcome to Friday Filibuster. I'm Dave Johnson, joined by Mac McIntyre.
Hack-a-do.
Daryl Loomis.
Hello.
And Jason Pinella.
Ahoy.
And that's it. That's the four of us. Going to take you into your post-Memorial weekend. And we are in the teeth of the summer movie season, so hopefully you're swimming along with all of us. But we're going to do our lightning round, which we've been up to real quick, because we haven't really... it's been a week or so since this gang got together, so let's see what's been happening in our world. So, Daryl, why don't you kick us off? Anything of interesting to note?
No.
Jason, what do you have? All right, now.
I've been slogging through the second season of Game of Thrones. That's pretty much the only thing of interest for me. And it's not quite a slog, but it's not also not quite it's not what I'd hoped it was, I guess.
Really? What did you hope it was going to be?
I don't know. I expected something deeper. It's just a bunch of big scenes with handsome people doing heroic or dastardly things. It's just standard stuff.
A typical Friday night of your class, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. It's just, it's not anything special. It's better than True Blood.
All right. Wow. There's a ringing endorsement. Nice. All right. Good. Anything else? Yeah, that's it.
For me, no. God.
Right. That's gold. Podcast gold. Thank you. All right. Mac.
I took advantage of visiting family over the weekend to drag them to as many movies as I could. So I saw the new Godzilla.
You had a whole.
And
you did what? Godzilla, X-Men, and something else, right?
I saw Godzilla, X-Men, and then they had rented from Netflix The Secret Life of Walter Mitty with Ben Stiller. Walter Mitty, that was really, like, mediocre. You're not missing much. The new Godzilla, sorry, Dave, I was really disappointed.
I've got nothing further to add to that, so...
I know we talked a lot about it. Yeah, we talked a lot about it last week. It's just Godzilla was barely in the Godzilla movie. It was really... What little action there was, there just wasn't enough action and... The human characters are totally bland. So basically a lot of people have been saying about it. I felt the same way. So I was disappointed. But my palate cleanser was definitely X-Men, which I really liked. I thought it was just great.
Singer come back into the fold, right?
Yeah, Bryan Singer's back. And we've got, you know, a huge reunion of actors from a lot of the previous X-Men movies are all kind of in this one. And, you know, even though there's a million different characters, it's not confusing. And, you know, even those who are only in it for one or two scenes still get some moments to shine. So, I really dug it. And, yes, I'm biased because I'm a Marvel guy. I grew up reading Marvel comics. And so lots of endearing love for the X-Men. But even with that bias, I think the movie was just great. It was just a lot of fun, lots of big action, lots of great character moments. Real nice sort of twisty, turny time travel plot. It really kept you engaged. And I just really dug it. So it's just, you know, cool. It's the X-Men. They're mutants. They're doing mutant stuff. So, you know, I'm all for it.
All right. Well, sorry, I wasn't listening once you said you didn't like Godzilla. So I don't really value your opinion anymore, unfortunately. That was a good lie. Well, it lasted. All right, good. So I've yet to see X-Men. So that is definitely good to hear. Because I'm intrigued. We'll see. Anything else? Is by Walter Mitty, real quick. Is it a comedy or is it a drama? Please solve that question for me.
I'd say it's mostly a comedy, but it's one of those sort of comedies where they drop the jokes and do like real sort of ham-fisted tearjerker moments.
All right.
So they're trying real hard to make it the feel good movie of the year.
Was it? Did you feel good about it?
I felt okay about it.
Okay. That's the important thing.
That's the important thing. Yes. Nice. All right, Jason. How about what are we doing with you here?
The past week or so, got to catch up on a lot of the TV shows that we've been watching, and including 24, but also got to watch the season finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
All right. right.
And which I really liked. I know a lot of people were kind of down on the show initially. I genuinely liked it from the beginning, but the past like 6 or 7 episodes just really got good. And I mean, I know Mac was watching it too, so I don't know if you got to catch the finale yet or not. But
I did.
What do you think?
I didn't like it quite as much. I do agree that the show has, the show has improved, and it was the finale. I'd say was, you know, it was a step in the right direction, but overall, I'm just kind of left with the feeling of the show's just a little on the bland side, and it could be so much more than what it is.
What's the spinoff? Yeah. What's the spinoff that's coming? Who's involved with that?
Oh, Agent Carter.
Yeah, who is the who?
That's, you remember the Captain America movie?
Yes.
Is a girlfriend in that? Yeah.
Really? Oh, okay.
She's getting spun off into her own show. It's going to be post-World War II.
Oh, the first Captain America.
Yes.
I gotcha. Okay.
Haley Atwell, that's her name, right?
Yeah.
Is she, wow, will she be enough to carry her own show?
You should go find the short film that's online, the Agent Carter short film. It was on one of the Blu-rays, and it must be online. And that kind of acted as a pilot for it. And it's pretty good. She's pretty good in it. She does the spy movie thing pretty well. Of course, that's like a 10-minute short, well, not a TV series. But I don't know. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Right. I'm reading online now, and they say that it's going to be a limited series of 8 episodes.
Hmm.
So that could work.
All right. I guess it's to me. So, yeah, it is season finale season, I suppose. So, I'm trying to remember, like, the last season finale that really wowed me. Do you guys have anything occur to you? Like, that you were watching real time, so not necessarily a DVD set that you ingested, that you mainlined. You know, like Breaking Bad, you know, doesn't count unless you watch it broadcast-wise. I'm just trying to think. Can you remember a season finale that just left you agog?
I guess the
agog.
Yeah, the Castle season finale where Beckett got shot, that was the show was really peaking at that point.
Okay. All right.
You know, it's weird as you say that, like the Mad Men mid-season finale just happened, and that kind of idea is just so they lay these cliffhangers, and you're going to have to wait a year to see what happens. But it doesn't feel like a season finale, and so it's more frustrating than anything. Yeah, I can't think of one in a long, long time.
Anyone else? Any other takers?
Nope.
Nothing. Wow. Nope. Well, what a sad commentary on television.
Take note, showrunners.
That's right. No. Yeah, when's the last time we had the Jack Bauer getting flogged in a Chinese tanker? I was thinking all of those. You know, all the same things. I mean, so we don't watch a ton of broadcast TV, you know, but a few things did set out of the ones we did watch. So I'll try not to get too spoilery here, but Mad Men sort of had it. It was like a mid-season finale, so I don't know if that counts. But I've enjoyed Mad Men. This, you know, it's a 7 episodes, so the first part 1 of the final season type of thing, which is fairly annoying, but
it's totally annoying.
It is. I mean, just give them. I mean, you guys experienced that with Breaking Bad, right? So
yeah, same thing with Breaking Bad. They're just cashing in.
Yeah. So
there's no good reason to do this.
That's the only thing that holds me back. But the actual like mid-season finale was quite good actually, and it ended with a musical number sung by a ghost. So that's all I'll say about that. Yeah. That's
what I'll Goodbye, say. Robert Morris.
That's right. R.I.P. But it was well done. Though too bad they had to sell you the character with like a cheap, like racist gag they had him do, which kind of like sullied the whole thing. But whatever. That's Mad Men. Sometimes they're, you know, they think they're just a little too cute with their, you know, whatever. So anyway, but Supernatural, which I have myself, my wife, and legions of 15-year-old girls have been following. Actually, they're probably in their 20s now because it's been on forever. But we've been following that and enjoying it. And I actually had a pretty, pretty good season finale, which at first was, and I'll just spoil it because you guys don't care, but at first it looked like one of these guys, one of the brothers was going to die again. And these guys have died many times, right? So the stakes just aren't there. So Dean does sort of die, but the very last scene, it happens, it's kind of a nice little trick. The very last scene of the season is dead Dean's eyes opening up, and they're the all-black ovals. He's become a demon. So,
my God.
That's not too bad. I'll take it. You know, I'll take it. It's freaking cliffhanger, and it's not like he's really dead. So, I don't know. So, I have no idea what's in store next season, but they're on the, like, ninth season. So, any surprises are welcome here, I guess. And then finally, Arrow. Mac, have you caught up on this season of Arrow?
No, I finally finished the first season.
Okay.
So that's as far as I've come.
And Jason, you don't watch Arrow, do you?
No, I don't. Yeah. I don't.
So very uneven season overall, I thought. Unfortunately, the one character I was really hoping would die survived. And it looks like her role will be expanded, so I'm not looking forward to that. But the last two episodes were pretty good. Pretty good action and no real huge... no cliffhanger at all. So that was a little disappointing. I was hoping, it would be nice to get like another super villain shout out. But at least they didn't kill a guy I was hoping they wouldn't kill. So I still have hope for a spin-off Deathstroke series, which would be pretty badass. So sorry, Mac. I know I sort of spoiled it a little bit, but
that's all right.
So I'm still holding up on that. But that's it. That's my season finale review. All right, real quick. I'm going to give you a quick ambush topic just because it occurs to me. Your personal favorite series finale, which you may have done already, but we'll do it again. Series finale by the episode, the actual episode. So, like, the season doesn't count. The actual series finale episode that is your favorite. Daryl, go, quick. What do you got?
All right. I am actually going to go with the second part of the first paintball episode of Community.
That's a series. That's the series finale.
I believe. Oh, you mean series finale?
Series, the whole thing, the whole ball of wax, John.
Oh, golly! You had to start with me.
Yes. Okay, I'll go to Mac. Go, Mac.
All right. I guess I got to turn to my favorite TV show of all time, Twin Peaks.
Okay.
Completely off the wall finale. Creator David Lynch, he didn't like that the mystery had been resolved, so he wanted the show to become a mystery again. And so he just, threw all this craziness and all this weirdness and mystery at the viewer. And it's been, 20 years later, and we're still trying to figure out just what happened in that final episode. Yeah. So it worked.
Very good.
Yeah, I hated that, to be honest. I mean, that was, like, one of the first things I thought of was that, was the Twin Peaks finale, but... No, I hate that.
Nice.
it might work for me better today than it did. I don't know when I last watched it, but it was it really irritated me at the time and later.
Very nice.
Anyway.
All right. Jason, you might have the same one I do, but we'll see. Go ahead, Jason. What's yours?
I think there's probably a really good chance of this. It's easy for me too, and that would be Angel.
Yeah, same here. Nothing's really close.
I thought of that one too.
Really close for me, to be honest. Like, I mean, I didn't watch MASH live or St. Elsewhere or whatever, But
St. Elsewhere finale was my pick.
That's right. Like even MASH, because I ended up reviewing like most of those seasons way back when, so I kind of reacquainted myself with it, and like that to me was a little overrated as a finale, just because that point that season was so preachy.
Everything was.
It was like Alan Alda and Mike Farrell were just railing against. I don't even know what they were railing against because it was the 80s. It was the 80s.
Yeah.
Vietnam
that
War was
time
over,
was like, yeah, 86.
It's like, I have no idea what your issue is now, but it was just so, that whole, it was like a two-parter, and it was just really melodramatic. And, and what's the big takeaway? It was like BJ, sorted some rocks together to say goodbye, right? So,
that was nice.
That was nice. So I think that's kind of a little overrated as one of those legendary finales for me.
I think it's very overrated. I think it's a great series, but the the finale is definitely.
Yeah, I think on balance, it is a legit great series, hampered by the worst laugh track in the world. Like,
oh man,
yeah, oh
like,
golly,
it's like they imported,
it's really obnoxious.
They just like copied the Brady Bunch laugh track and applied it to MASH.
Yeah, and they didn't
even
sync it.
They didn't sync it, right? And, yeah, it was a great series. I thought it was bookended by my least favorite stuff of MASH, you know, and like the middle of the guts of it to me was like the high quality TV. So like,
yeah, but always watch out for an episode directed by Alan Alda.
Oh, that's true. That's absolutely.
You're gonna get preached at for
absolutely
about 22 minutes.
Yes, you will. Yeah, you will get preached to in a big way. So.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah,
directed by Alan Alda. Turn off the channel.
But yeah, I would say like. Yeah, I'm trying to even think. I can't think of anything that really comes close to Angel for me, just as far as like an episode, like summarizing the theme of the show perfectly, right? And
yep.
And like giving
yep.
the characters perfect send-off, like perfect send-offs.
Yeah, well, Dave, you and I both liked the Smallville finale.
Well, that's true. Right,
which
absolutely,
is kind of
absolutely
tying a very nice bow on
yeah,
that series.
I totally agree. You know, that was itself sort of an uneven series, right? It was really Dawson's Creek.
It really had its ups
yeah,
and downs.
So it was,
yeah,
so like the first half was kind of really melodramatic. Although I really checked in towards the Metropolis stuff in there. There were some corny elements. But you're right, Mac. I thought they, like the last moments were pitch perfect, right? So, I mean, for
right.
sure. But as far as like, I don't know, the whole thing, especially with Angel getting word that they were canceled like halfway through that season. You know, they had to kind of scramble to pull together a few big bads here and there, but it was just such a refreshing, just a super. I come back to that two-part episode occasionally just because it's so great. So yeah,
there's so many people that hate that finale too.
I don't understand that.
Which, yeah,
really?
Agreed. Yeah,
like those people who find Godzilla boring. I don't understand. No, but yeah, I just don't like. I guess like that's to me. If you are a fan of that show. I just don't understand how like that finale doesn't work for you because that's the show, you know.
So exactly.
What a great show! I don't know, Daryl. Did you get something occur to you real quick?
Yeah, I do have something, and it's not a great finale. It's just that it had so much more potential, and I've mentioned it on the show a few times. But Dark Skies got its one season in '96 or whatever. And the way it was going to start after it was canceled would have been so delicious. There was so much potential there, but it was taken out before its time. So that was the season finale. It was a good cliffhanger. And so, you know.
Wasn't it there like they were going to come back in the fall and it was like 10 years had passed or something?
Well, it was supposed to be a 5-year plan of each decade, the 60s, 70s, yeah. 80s, 90s, and then, you know, they would, at the end of the show, would be current. And so they had made I don't know if it was in the last episode or the next to last episode, but they had basically set up that the alien was Charles Manson, and or that the alien was taking the alias of a Charles Manson, and all of that stuff was going to go down, and it was all alien, you know, it was all the conspiracy, but that was the brilliance of that show. They just so neatly fixed their alien conspiracy garbage into real history, and so as the last episode ended, you were able to sort of see where they were going to go with it, and it would have been great. So,
all right, would have been great. Would have, could have.
There you go.
Okay, well, that was a huge digression. So let's really rifle through some of this stuff. 20 seconds or less. Something you got coming out to review. Daryl, right back to you. Go.
All right. Dave, you might like this, or any of you might. I saw a couple of trailers for this on some other things I had reviewed, but it's a movie called Raze, R-A-Z-E.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it a revenge movie?
Yes.
Is it a revenge movie?
What's that? No, like, it's... Well, it looked more like Kickboxer than it is. But there's still, it's a lot of fights. It's all women. There's a Sherilyn Fenn's in it. There's a sort of scenario about having to fight your way out, and this stuff's been going on for a long time, and whatever. It's a bunch of women fighting, and it's less fighting than I wanted, but it's still pretty fun.
All right, Raze, fighting, not bad. Everyone likes
Everybody
fighting.
Likes fighting.
You ever seen the movie Fighting with Channing Tatum? Right, was any of that? Not good.
No.
Okay, Mac.
I also got something with women fighting. It's season one of Orange is the New Black.
Oh, good.
The Netflix exclusive. It's on Blu-ray now. I went into it blind, only knowing that it was popular and not really knowing anything else. But it is really good. I enjoyed it. It has that sort of addictive nature of the Netflix shows. You just got to watch the next one right away to see what happens next. And it's a women's prison, but it's like minimum security prison. So it's, it really doesn't do a lot of the, class prison movie tropes. It tosses all those out. And instead, it's more like, quirky and funny and kind of plays up the absurdities of prison life. So I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
Very good. All right, Jason, you gotta have some kind of a woman, because I got one. I got one lined up too.
Prison,
so badass.
I guess there are women fighting in this. There's this just came this week for me in the mail for the site, and it's a Showtime show called Ray Donovan. Liev Schreiber's in it. John Voight. And it's about Schreiber plays this fixer in Hollywood who helps big stars get out of fixes and things. And there are some women shouting at each other and throwing things, so I guess that counts. But the show is, it looks great. Liev Schreiber is fantastic in it, but I'm about three episodes in and I still can't figure out what the point is of the show. Yep. It's just a lot of brooding for about an hour each episode, and there really isn't any forward momentum, so we'll see where it goes as the season continues.
Yeah,
but
sounds promising.
But, so far, I kind of have mixed feelings on it.
All right. I'm going to keep in the vein. I was going to talk about Nonstop, the Liam Neeson action that I've been looking forward to checking out, and it's, the Caps review is he's an air marshal on a plane, and he gets a mysterious text. Someone is threatening to kill one person every 20 minutes unless they pay X amount of dollars, and it's a pretty effective little suspense movie, not really super action-y, ultimately hamstrung by really dumb motivations by the bad guys, and I'll just leave it at that. It's not a deal-breaker, but it was a little like, we went through all that for this, so that's an unfortunate reaction, but still an effective little suspense film that I would still recommend checking out, but for women, not really fighting, but how about solving crimes? How about solving murders? Does that strike you? How about Lori Loughlin of Full House fame solving murders?
Wow.
Yeah. How about Lori Loughlin of Full House fame solving murders by using her skills as a garage sale purveyor of items? That's right, garage sale mystery.
Wow.
The Hallmark original.
Antiques Roadshow meets
pretty
Mrs.
Much.
Marvel.
That's pretty much. She uses, and very Sherlock Holmesian, the camera, it shows how she looks at various wares at garage sales, so she can hone in on these great deals, and those powers of observation help her solve a
Raze is way better than this movie.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I wouldn't go that far, but
Lori Loughlin would not stand in this prison.
Garage Sale Mystery 2, hopefully she'll take on the Yellow King. So we'll see what happens. Okay, I guess we've got some upcoming DVDs to whirl through, so let's do that,
yes.
Mac.
Cool. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com. We're going to click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. And then we're going to scroll down and hit the link for the cover art gallery for June 3rd. And just talk about whatever we see on the list here. Now, speaking of Breaking Bad, we've got the complete series box set. So if you haven't bought them yet, this is a good chance.
It's also on Netflix.
Aren't they releasing sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, aren't they releasing like a big, like a huge special edition box set as well that's like a meth container or something?
That would be interesting. I'd like to see them pull that off. Got it.
Gestapo's last orgy, so that's that's something that I will probably review in the next few minutes. So look out for that. Dave, your complete series of Full House is sitting there.
Again, huh? Where is that? Oh, yeah, look at that. I mean, I have the Ultimate Edition where I have all the whole series encased in a cardboard house, no less. There it is. It's sitting there right next to the wire. That's where it stands.
Nice.
DVD rack here.
And then we also have a Deathbed, the Bed That Eats.
Yes.
Which is pretty special. In its awfulness and its obscurity up until a few years ago. But it's awful. I don't recommend it.
I don't know how many times the Knight Templar has to get released. It's like the third release of it, and it's under a different title. Like, I've reviewed this movie twice, and it's the same thing, but it's been a different title. I can't take it anymore.
Now, is that the same thing as Arn, the Knight Templar?
It's also I've literally reviewed this movie twice. I remember... I can't be a hypocrite. I have to go back and make sure I, gave it the same score because it's the same freaking movie. How about that nice little? Gee, what movie are they sort of trying to get across next to it? There, the dragon, Komodo Secrets of the Dragon. Oh. The Earth is starting to be run by the Asylum.
Oh my goodness, that looks terrible.
We've got the remake of RoboCop is hitting Blu-ray.
I was just thinking about that, Mac. I just totally forgot about it, really. You know, it's just, I can't really remember anything about it.
You know, you
like
never
the
forgot the original RoboCop. Nobody ever forgot RoboCop And so screw that movie.
Devoured by the Lego Raiders, this one. I don't remember it at all.
Ravenous.
I do remember that one. How about Video Nasties, Daryl?
Oh, what is...
Is that a documentary about the band videos?
Yeah, it looks like it, yeah.
These are videos that were banned in England because of controversial...
It's 540 minutes, so there's probably, some... stuff to be mined, but there's no news stories out there.
Yeah.
Not anymore. The DVD killed all that.
All right. So lots to choose from, for sure. So come check out this this release calendar. Purchase, buy, support DVD Verdict. We would appreciate that. So real quick, any releases on the release of the week? Jason, why don't you go first?
Curious George.
That's simple yet effective.
That's really good.
Daryl.
Oh, I had one real fast, but I'll go with it. I'm going to go with Extreme Rules.
Nice. Mac?
That's Rawhide.
Good. Well done. That's good. That's okay.
Oh,
I'm a couple down. I don't know what it means, but I'm going with Tiny. specific audience. Okay. Not bad. We recouped some of our timer, so let's. We skipped our ambush topic last week, so we will get into it. Let's drop some ambush topics this week. You know how this works. So, Mac, why don't you serve up the first batch?
All right. Well, with Godzilla on everybody's mind, the first topic is: which fictional character would you like to see grown to gigantic size to battle
Tyrion
Godzilla?
Lannister. No, okay.
he would outsmart Godzilla.
Let's see, okay.
So
you probably want some kind of
topic,
a monster equivalent, right? I mean, you don't want, like, Jack Bauer out there running around with Godzilla. That wouldn't make much sense.
He could snap Godzilla's neck from behind.
I'm going to go with Buster Bluth because he is a monster.
Yes.
You know what?
The post hook, right.
The hook hand, yeah.
I'm going to see a Buster Bluth, and I'm going to go with Tobias the Mole. So we got a perfect sense of what that was anyway. So let's do it. Let's go for it. Lord knows they're squinters.
Lord knows they're squinters.
But Tobias would think he's playing a part, so he wouldn't actually fight Godzilla.
That's
he would
right.
just, like, you know, do stage fighting.
That's right. And yeah. Godzilla's radioactive breath would actually turn and make him the blue man, like, literally. Right?
There you go.
All right, well, then I'm going to go with the person who played Lucille Bluth, but Mallory Archer. Blown up. Okay. Could kill Godzilla.
Is it
shame.
The show Archer?
Yeah, from Archer, yes.
Oh, okay. I was trying to remember. Who is that from?
Now you're confusing me, because then I was thinking Mallory from Family Ties, like, in the rest of the world.
I took a leap.
That's good. That all right. Mac, it's to you right away. Right back to you.
All right. Yeah, I was trying to think, okay, who from Saved by the Bell would be a good person to fight Godzilla?
Yeah.
And I was
going
to go with Screech, because Screech has knowledge of robotics, and
sure.
But and then you could build Mecha Screech. But
sure.
I was thinking, though, Zack, however, you know, his hair is indestructible, first
right.
of all. So, you know, that could be a weapon against Godzilla. And he has the timeout thing, so he can freeze Godzilla in place and throw Godzilla into the ocean. So I'm thinking Zack Morris would probably be, you know, our number one defense against Godzilla.
Defense against Godzilla. Like, so if Godzilla attacks, who do we... Kevin the Robot may not be a bad idea either, speaking of Screech's knowledge in robotics, right? I mean,
did he ever really do anything? Did instead just sit in the corner and make wisecracks?
He did make wisecracks. He was very good at the awkward sexual innuendo, too, so... yeah. He's a scary AI. Like, he's very advanced AI, I think, so... okay, very good. Daryl, go ahead.
Well, okay, so we're just going to do it. It's still Godzilla themed, so here's to you, Dave.
Okay.
Nice. So this was my one from last week, but...
Women fighting in Godzilla themes.
Yeah, it's not just Godzilla, but in the whole world of Japanese monster stuff... Your favorite monster of all that stuff, like Ultraman, even Voltron's, all, you know, all that stuff is
so the kaiju, that kaiju,
yeah, the kaiju, your favorite one, your favorite Godzilla villain.
Well, I think I really liked, I'm gonna go with Rodan, I guess, and
really?
Like I remember liking the movie, because the movie was pretty grim. Like, Rodan was very different tonally than Godzilla. You know, it was like, it was darker, and there was, I remember it being fairly gory, which is, you know, light to no gore, but that was versus, like, there was no, you know, zero in anything else. So, I just remember, like, finding Rodan pretty interesting. And he does tangle with Godzilla at one point, doesn't he?
Rodan had his own movie,
right.
And then later he teamed up and they did Godzilla versus Rodan.
Yeah, so I've always found Rodan just because he was huge, he could fly, and he was just he was in a movie that I seem to actually enjoy as a movie. I just remember enjoying Rodan as a movie less than okay, let's fast forward through all this stupid crap and get to the rubber monsters fighting. Rodan I seem to like as a whole, so. And plus, he's a pretty badass guy. I'm going to give it to him.
Not technically part of the Toho series, but kind of in that same vein over in China, in the Hong Kong film industry wanted to cash in on Godzilla, so they created Mighty Peking Man.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a King Kong riff. Giant ape.
Yes.
Comes to Hong Kong and smashes up the place. And... it's just incredibly low budget. You know, just the ape suit is totally like moth eaten, and the toy tanks look even more like toy tanks than usual. And so it's just it's so cheesy and so goofy. But because it's from the Hong Kong film industry, everything is like taken up to this level of extremism. And so things are just not only crazy, they're like really, really crazy when he goes on his big rampage at the end. So Yeah, it's one of my favorite So Bad It's Good movies, is Mighty Peking Man.
There was a fair amount of Kongsploitation out there. I mean, one of my favorites was Ape, also known as, like, Attack of the Giant Horny Gorilla. I really believe that was the name of it. Starring Joanna Kearns, a very, very live and lovely Joanna Kearns.
Good on her.
Yeah, really a terrible, I mean, kind of a cult favorite amongst my friends, but that's...
That the trailer for that is on YouTube, but the trailer is just hilarious.
Pretty weird.
Well, this is definitely a blind spot in my movie viewing history here with Asian monster movies, but I hope this works. This is a South Korean movie from about, 10 years ago called The Host.
That's
and
a great
movie.
Dug the I really dug the creature from that.
The Host.
Don't remember a lot about it, but I remember really liking it.
Nice.
So, hey, there we go.
It was America's fault.
It always is.
Of course it was.
It's a Chinese movie. Awesome movie. It would have been Japanese fault. That much I know.
Yes, but the Koreans, they know better. It's really cool. That's the best monster movie I think that's been made in years and years. The Host. They're making a sequel, apparently.
Oh, really? Sweet.
I don't know.
Yeah, The Host with
I would say that, but...
Maybe Sweet.
I think
maybe Sweet.
It's called Graft versus Host, right? That's the name of the sequel.
Yeah, Graft versus Host is a terrible movie.
Starring Steffi Graf and Happy Days Donnie.
Okay, so my favorite of these is King Ghidra, even though that might be, an easy pick. It's just he has dragon hands or dragon heads for hands. People talk about him as a three-headed monster, but that's not true. He has a single head and two heads for hands.
Awesome. Yeah, I don't know how he got around.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, that's just...
And that's the most awesome thing ever seen.
He's one of those, this is probably another ambush topic, separate, but like, he's one of those characters that you don't know how he, just got around in day-to-day life,
Yeah.
like Kuwato from Total Recall is another one of them, It's like, how do they actually get around in day-to-day? How do they take a shower, without... All right, I'll go next. Famous actors in bit roles, so before they were famous, perhaps.
Hmm.
All right, I'm going to go with the double shot of Texas Chainsaw Massacre 4, The New Generation.
Matthew McConaughey and who?
And Renee Zellweger.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Both young Austin actors in a terrible, terrible update of Texas Chainsaw Massacre that was... I think I first saw it in probably about... It was probably filmed in 93 or 4. I think I saw it in 97 or 8 after Dazed and Confused and Bridget Jones' Diary both came out. So Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger were both big time, and all of a sudden you see this movie in the video store, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The New Generation. And, boy, stay away.
Yeah.
Everybody just stay away.
You know, Tom Cruise did a lot of interesting stuff before he was famous. I'm trying to remember. What was the movie where he was the nerd? Was that Losing It? I've lost the crowd.
My Tom Cruise awareness goes like post-Legend, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Losing It.
Yeah, I can deal with Risky Business, but before that, I'm a little blank.
I will take your word for it. The nerd in the
all right, yeah. So but I know he was in Losing It. That much I can confirm. It is about the teenagers and they're horny and they want to lose it.
Of course.
If you know what I mean.
Yes.
And what is this? 1982.
It was. I'm looking at 83. Good guess.
Yeah, there you go. Teenagers were horny back then.
They were. Yeah, they're totally.
Right.
And yeah, Tom Cruise's character was named Woody.
Of course.
And Shelley Long played Kathy. So,
and Shelley Long.
Shelley Long, yeah. She was like the star. So.
Yeah, but I mean that was in her. That was that was in Cheers.
Coming
right?
off Money Pit.
Yeah, but that was the kind of in the Cheers heyday, so it's not like right.
That would have been right when Cheers took off. Yeah.
All right. Something to look for. Thank you. I think Shelley Long bagged my groceries today. I'm not sure.
And how much there?
I don't. I'm drawing a blank. This is one of those ones that I shouldn't be drawing a blank on.
I know,
but
come on. We all have those.
I know. Well, this one isn't before he was famous by far, but it's probably one of my favorite cameos. Bill Murray in Zombieland.
True. Oh. Cameo. We'll allow you to bend the rules because it is a great cameo. Okay. It's a great cameo.
If I can think of another one in the next like 20 seconds, I'll use it.
No problem.
Too.
I was this topic occurred to me because I'm looking at a wonderful birthday present for my wife, a big poster of Tombstone, one of my favorite kind of badass movies, and Billy Bob Thornton plays a great little character in that one. Do you remember Billy Bob Thornton in Tombstone?
I don't remember him in Tombstone. I was definitely a fan.
It is the chubby version of Billy Bob Thornton, and he plays the loudmouth dealer that Wyatt Earp, like, you know, the dealer is taking over the little casino. Wyatt Earp shows up. You know, here the bartender says this guy's kind of made business bad, so Wyatt Earp goes there and just has a great exchange where Billy Bob just turns into a puddle. So we hear such great lines from Wyatt as, you know, skin that smoke wagon and go to work. You know, just not bad. You know, it's good stuff. And he just kind of.
And who plays Wyatt Earp in that one?
Kurt Russell.
Yeah. Kurt Russell, that's totally
I,
right.
Like, yes. I have. Again, this is a movie I go back to repeatedly, but I think I've come to the conclusion, the bold realization that Kurt Russell's Wyatt Earp might be, like, objectively speaking, the most badass hero in a movie I think I've seen. Just like. He is, like, badass in this movie.
Yeah. There's a scene but where they're at the river and he's just unloading the shotgun on those guys.
And in slow motion, he yells, "No, that's badass," right? Or, like, some dude is getting high on opium and he replaces the cigarette or whatever with his gun and then blows the guy's head off, you know? And it's and he's got all the best lines ever, so.
Yeah.
That is my bold realization, but he really kind of shows how cool he is when he just totally emasculates a chubby Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah, I just thought of a real one here.
All right,
as
good.
An answer. Going back to Angel, in I think it's the first season, Jeremy Renner shows up in one episode as Angel's old vampire pal.
Very good. That's whenever I see Jeremy Renner and stuff, it's like, ooh. It's a guy from Angel. Saved by the Bell actually had a fair amount, by the way. You know, you had like Bridget Nielsen, or no, is it Bridget Nielsen? Bridget Wilson, maybe, who was in Billy Madison. I think married Pete Sampras at the end.
Not Bridget Nielsen.
No, Bridget Nielsen. That's not. Yeah. No.
Different lady.
Different quote unquote lady. Yes. Okay, who's left? Who didn't go? Jason,
me.
You go.
This past week for the site, I watched a documentary on World War I, and they talk a fair bit about tanks in there. So, tanks.
Tanks. All right.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right,
thank you, Mac. Of course, we've got How Could You Go Wrong with Tank Girl.
Seems like
you remember Tank
wrong.
Girl, right? Lori Petty and the crazy kangaroos, right?
Yes.
So, Mac, were you a fan of that comic?
I read it. I don't know. I'm not a diehard fan, but I enjoyed it.
It wasn't a thing. Like, I never quite understood the appeal of all that and why that was made into a movie.
Well, it's just kind of the spirit of, like, anarchy, anything goes craziness, you know.
Just Mad Max business.
It's the post-apocalypse, but they're all, you know, partying, and they're making sex jokes, and there's kangaroos, and it's just, you know, it's wacky.
Saturday night. There you go.
Okay, fair enough.
And, yeah, the movie had to have more of a plot, so they introduced the villain. I think there's a love story, I don't remember, but, you know, they added the animated sequences, which was kind of a big deal at the time, because that was just sort of capturing the spirit of the comic book, The part that I always liked was when she actually talks to the tank and it's like shaking its head yes and no. It's
oh,
like,
God.
that was really like wacky and crazy and silly, and it should have been more of that. Should have been more over the top, but whatever. It's Tank Girl.
It's
there's no going wrong. Yeah.
So it goes.
I'm going to go with one of my favorite action scenes would be the tank chase in Indiana Jones The Last Crusade. I mean,
oh, of course.
Absolutely. A lot of great beats there, and very well done. And, you know, maybe one of, I don't know, like maybe second to the truck chase in Raiders, but you know, probably second to truck chase in Raiders as far as my favorite Indiana Jones action sequence. I thought that was just hugely satisfying and ends with a great miniature going over the cliff with a little Nazi guy you can see his action from your hands holding on for dear life. That's great.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to go way back in time and talk about the original NES game Jackal.
Okay.
My favorite, probably my favorite NES game, but it was the first one I ever had where you could play the game twice and it would be harder the second time. Mm. But you were a tank and you shot stuff and it was rad. I probably played through it 25 times.
Not bad. I see your Jackal and raise you Beachhead. Anyone ever play Beachhead?
I never played Beachhead.
Have you heard of Beachhead? Yeah, no, yes, no, no.
Is that the one where you're blowing up all the stuff that's coming in?
That's right.
Beachhead. Oh, that game.
Beachhead for the Commodore 64. It was like, you blew stuff coming in, and then you had to guide your tank, which controlled, like, you know, sloth on heroin, and you threw all these kind of weird obstacles. And
no, it sounds awesome. Jackal was rad.
Jackal sounds great, too.
These are great games.
This is the golden age. Right, yes.
Well, the one I'm going to go with is in G.I. Joe Retaliation. There's a couple battle scenes at the end there, but one of them, Dwayne Johnson is driving this tank thing around, and he's just, you know, rolling it over sand dunes and shooting missiles everywhere and blowing up basically everything.
It's the Rock versus Steve Austin.
What?
I'm sorry, it's the Rock. Dwayne Johnson pretending he's Austin.
Yeah, and he's, I mean, it's, you can see all the veins bulging on his head when he's, like, pulling the trigger and stuff, and lots of tanks get blown up, so pretty
cool. Tell me if that movie's worth watching, because I see it on Netflix tantalizing me.
The first one wasn't a good movie. I mean, that should be pretty obvious, but I genuinely like the second one more. I mean, it's not a good movie either, but I think it gets the spirit of G.I. Joe maybe a little bit better. And The Rock is one of those actors who, no matter how bad the movie is, he's actually one of the best things about it. So
I will say,
and the case holds for this, too. So.
Okay, I'm going to have to check that out, man.
I saw it, too, and it's not a good movie, but you won't hate yourself afterwards.
Right.
All right, so is that it? Are we done? We're good, right? That's it. Okay. We are done with this Friday filibuster, so enjoy your weekend. And, man, beyond that, Mac, I have nothing else to add. What do you have to add?
I'm the best there is at what I do.